Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text I've chosen for our thoughts this morning and for the sermon is from the gospel lesson, which is pretty common for me, but there's some things thrown in also from the other texts as well for us this morning. But I'll read the gospel one more time for our hearing from Mark chapter 1, 14 through 20, where we read, "After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." This is our text. Here we hear St. Mark in his gospel this morning that he says that Jesus was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. There's another way that we could translate Jesus' words, I believe, and still be very faithful to the text. And it might get a little closer maybe to what St. Mark is really his point. If we translate the Lord's words here as repent, that is, to be clear, believe the gospel. Repent. That is, to be clear, believe the gospel. You see, repentance is nothing short of believing the gospel. Believing the gospel manifests itself in repentance. And if you walk into an emergency room with your arm or your shoulder is all slashed and there's blood pouring out of it, you don't need the doctor to say, "Hey, you're bleeding." You've already know that. You figured that all out for yourself. Rather, you'd like for the doctor to say, "I'm here to help you, to bind up your wound, to ease your pain, to save you from death." Or if a child screams in the middle of the night and yelling out for mommy and daddy, and mommy and daddy come and they say to the child, "You've had a bad dream, so you need to go back to sleep." But the child needs more than that, doesn't he? Or her. Child really needs to hear. Real help and comfort for the child is when mommy or daddy says to them, "You're safe now because I am with you. You're safe now because I'm with you. I will protect you from everything that makes you feel afraid." And sometimes God's people finally make it back to the divine service on a Sunday morning, and it's been quite a week for us. Some have, limped around all week with this arthritis of loneliness and grief and aches for a spouse long gone. Some of us continue to feel stabs of regret for the things that we've said or the things that we have done. Some of us have fallen again and again into those habitual ditches of sin that we keep promising ourselves and God that we aren't going to do anymore. And some of the saints hate the fact that they are so impatient with their children or with their parents, so revengeful to their spouse, and are afraid of the sorrows of tomorrow. And maybe there's a Christian or two who feels a little bit of self-consciousness about being in the divine service itself, since it may have been so long since the last time they were there. A bleeding man doesn't need to be told that he's bleeding. He figures that out for himself. A frightened child doesn't need to be told that he or she is afraid. Sometimes two poor, miserable sinners do not need to be told that they are poor, miserable sinners. They've already figured it out for themselves. So the bleeding man is better served by being assured that he will be helped, that he will be healed. And comforting words and soothing promises give better help to a frightened child than do instructions on how to go back to sleep. And we would never want to say that God's people do not need to hear the law or its condemnations. No. Certainly, that's what God's law and condemnations are about. But maybe life isn't all has already given it to them. And sometimes in sermons, it might be much more helpful and comforting for them to hear not threats, but promises. Not fire and brimstone, but some soothing assurances and thirst-quenching promises. Bible scholars agree, as they look at this text of St. Mark, that he wrote this gospel to people who were experiencing some dark and some very fearsome times. St. Mark appears to have written this gospel to Christians in Rome during the time when Rome was not feeling very appreciative towards Christians. Persecution was in the air. Fear was in the hearts. And death in the arena or at the top of a burning pole had some real possibility for anyone who was confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's true, you know, God's law does an important job of making people afraid. But those Christians that Mark was writing to didn't need to be made afraid. They were already deeply afraid. The law, as Martin Luther once wrote, performs the ministry of death. But the fear of death is already creeping around outside the people's doors in Rome. And in another place, Luther also compared the law to a cattle prod that drives you toward, he wrote, for the sake of life. Drives you towards Christ for the sake of Christ. So the Christians to whom St. Mark was writing in our text this morning needed to be prodded nowhere. They were already herded up and gathered around Jesus because there was no place left for them to go. So St. Mark wrote to these dear Christians about the things that Jesus preaches. And after John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, and he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. St. Mark is describing Jesus as saying, repent. That is to say, believe the gospel. And when you believe the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you are, by definition, repentant. Repentance is, in fact, believing the gospel. There's no such thing as an unrepentant Christian. Might pause and just contemplate that for a while. No such thing as an unrepentant Christian. In St. Matthew's Gospel, John the Baptizer is the first guy who came preaching repentance. But John is breathing some fire here, and he rails against the hearers, and he rails against those who come out, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, he says. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able to make from these stones and raise up children of Abraham. And even now the axe, you know, is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, we read in Matthew chapter 3. So, again, wounded men and women do not need to be told that they are wounded, that they are bleeding. Children with nightmares do not need to be told that they shouldn't be afraid. And maybe St. Mark is also thinking that those frightened and condemned Christians in Rome who are hearing the gospel do not need to hear about fear and judgment right now. So St. Mark departs just a little bit from St. Matthew's gospel. St. Matthew describes Jesus as continuing John the Baptizer's preaching, where we read, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But St. Mark is concerned in our gospel today that maybe that's just not enough for their ears. St. Mark wants Christians in Rome to know, and he wants you and also all to know, that your repentance does not consist of feeling afraid or sorrowful or regretful even about your past. Repentance instead consists of a joyful and undeserved gift of the gospel. Your repentance has to do with believing the gospel. And so today's gospel gives you a few details about Jesus preaching that St. Matthew previously gave, and St. Mark adds a few words to what St. Matthew said. So after John the Baptizer was arrested, you might remember, Jesus came to the Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and believe the gospel. Yeah, and even better, repent, that is to say, believe the gospel. And when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you are by definition repentant. So believing the gospel is what it means to repent. To believe that you will be forgiven. Believing the gospel is to run to Jesus, to run to the cross, to run to forgiveness. Sometimes, and perhaps even many times, poor, miserable sinners do not need to be told that they are poor, miserable sinners. They've already managed to figure it out all for themselves. And the law has been written into their lives. It's sown into their daily circumstances. It follows them to work. It follows them to school. It sits on the couch waiting for them to come home again. The gospel comes from Christ Jesus, and you do not find it in many places outside of the gathering of divine service. You will, by all means, hear God's law from this pulpit. There's no avoiding it, but I never wish to leave the pulpit on any Sunday morning without first being as sure as it is pastorally possible that you have heard the gospel so that you might joyfully repent. That is to say, believe the gospel. To those of you who feel yourselves cut and bleeding, you know, like a wounded man or a wounded woman in an emergency room, Jesus is for you the doctor who assures you. He assures you by saying, "I'm here to help you, to bind up your wounds, to ease your pain, and to save you from death." To those of you who may feel yourselves terrified in darkness, like a child in the nightmares, Jesus is a loving parent who rushes to your side and assures you that you are safe now because I'm with you. You are safe now because I am with you. I will protect you from everything that makes you feel afraid. To those of you who feel yourselves as Christians cowering in Rome, herded together because you have nowhere else to go, Jesus opens his arms and he says to you, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And you who are guilty, Jesus forgives you of your sins and lifts your guilt from you. For those of you who are limping, Jesus will not allow you to stumble or fall. You who are lonely, you who are grieving, you shall be comforted by the one who comes in today's gospel, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and believe, you are forgiven. In that precious name of Christ, amen. Now, the peace of God is...